Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Staffa.
He is by far one of the most funniest guys I've ever heard. For 15 years, he was head writer and cast member of The Howard Stern Show. We are very fortunate to have in studio the joke man himself, Jackie Martling. Jackie, welcome to the show.
I am thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to have found it. And I don't think you have to worry about terrorists because they'll never find the place.
Now, see... tell people we...
He's right, though. Oh,
yes. Of course, we're so deep down right now on the ground, we came down about three flights of stairs. So even if we're in the middle of Manhattan, we're in a bunker.
We're good.
We are in a completely ISIS-free zone here. No matter what the hell happens, we are good. The bunker, this was probably a bomb shelter back in the 50s.
And if a bomb goes off, I'm in the room with lovely Christina.
See that?
And
we'll lock you in the bathroom, and we got it made.
Well, it's its own Twilight Zone episode, is it not? All right, so...
Thank you for having me.
I felt bad because I gave him the wrong town that somebody here at the radio station told me, so his GPS was like, you went into a field somewhere, did you not?
I did half the show, and then I realized you weren't there.
Boy, this Kalenge guy is kind of quiet. I don't hear anything here.
Do you know, it's so funny because... I worked out here for Craig Nyer a year ago, and the first thing I said to the audience, I said, I can't believe that I'm so far out in New Jersey that they'll let me make a left-hand turn. And the audience went nuts. Nobody else would understand that.
You got to be from New Jersey to understand that.
Wow, you can go left. You're kidding.
Right. There's this whole thing with jug handles. But out here, I mean, this is Walnut Grove. This is like Little House in the Prairie out here. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
do what you want. They don't even have paved roads out here yet, most of them. So.
I think they should name a town U-turn.
All right. Well, we're glad that you got here. You know, we say we're in the New York City area. There are times we have recorded actually in the city. Today's not one of them. And you're thinking this should have been one of those times. But
town is fine with me.
And what I like to is I said, you know, can we get Jackie on the show? Jackie said, phone or in person? No. If we can get Jackie in studio, this is great. The living, breathing
in
Jackie
studio
Martin.
Is so much better and so
of
much
course
more
it
fun.
Is.
On the phone is no. It just and I did a couple phoners yesterday, and I'm like. That. Especially, and sometimes it's not just a person, it's a person and somebody else. So they got you kind of on, it's not really speakerphone, but it's like you get sick of saying, I didn't understand what the other person just said because other people, they're not used to radio and they talk over somebody. Bottom line, I'm glad to be here. I found it. We're here.
All right. Jokes. You know so many of them. Thousands of jokes. How many jokes do you actually know?
Anybody listening to the show right now?
Yeah.
Would say, I can't believe Jackie's been sitting there for a minute and hasn't plugged. And this has got everything to do with jokes. I tweet a joke every day at 4:20 p.m. International Marijuana Time. I've been doing it for over 3 years. And some people complain about the jokes. I'm like, it's been a joke a day for 3 years. Of course it gets a little thin. But it's so much fun. There is no answer to how many jokes you know. Because there are so many versions of every joke. And some short jokes are long jokes are short jokes, a joke about... What I got really good at a long time ago, it's really funny because people are very impressed that I know every joke.
Mm-hmm.
I knew every joke in the 70s. I had a band, okay? When I was in third grade, this is what I explained to my audiences. I might as well tell you this. You know, you start getting famous and people start interviewing you and people say, hey, when did you hear your first joke or why did you become a comedian? I don't know. And you realize that's not a viable answer. I don't know. And I went back in my mind, and when I was in third grade, we were having a snowball fight, and it's me and my friends, and it's a small town. Mm-hmm. So there's a second grader, I'm a third grader, he's a fourth grader. And we're sitting around, and in those days we didn't have a dryer. It's 1956, so we're freezing, so we come inside to drip dry and try and get warm enough to go out and continue our snowball fight. So we're sitting there freezing in Roy Mitchell's living room, and my cousin walked in, who was in eighth grade, which is makes him, you know, the almighty, and he pulls out a piece of paper and reads something that's been around forever, a parody of The Night Before Christmas, but a dirty one. You know, it was The Night Before Christmas when all through the house, everybody in the family was drunk as a louse. And that's just the beginning, and it goes right into the toilet. And I can still remember the expressions on my friends' faces. They were spellbound. They were enraptured with what he was, and something must have clicked. And since then, I've remembered every joke, clean or dirty. I just remember them, and I know them. And I always thought that everybody did. I figured I grew up in America. You grew up in America.
Sure.
I know all the jokes. You know all the jokes. Never even dawned on me. And I really do know. And here it is 6 decades later, And I really do know probably more jokes than anybody. You know, it's so funny. The other night I was working to like 80 people at this little place, the Studio Theater on Long Island. I said, I know more jokes than anybody in the world. That's why I'm working to 80 people in Lindenhurst, you know. But the thing is, I really do know them. And when I got to, I was a rock and roller. You know, mm-hmm. I played guitar. And I wasn't any good. And we had a band in the 70s, a two-piece band, me and another guy with guitars. And we told dirty jokes and played in little places and had so much fun. You know, we met a lot of girls, smoked a lot of weed, drank a lot of booze. You know, we weren't thinking about tomorrow.
Sure.
Who cared? You know, I was a hippie. I went to Michigan State in the late 60s, you know, 66, 67. So I'm a hippie from through and through. So we used to tell all these jokes. Now, if you tell jokes, there's always people that say, oh, you tell jokes. I'm going to tell you a joke. That's my whole life. My whole life I've stayed up in bars and parties and, you know, people are telling jokes. And I was always the last one standing because I voraciously want to hear what you've got. Because at the end of the night, I'm going to hear one that I haven't heard before. I'm going home with a new joke. As silly as it is, that was my quest. So we take a break, and I go to the bar, and somebody come up and say, I got a joke for you. And in the 70s, this is like 1975, I'd say, okay, I'll count down from 10, and if I get to zero and I don't know the end of the joke you're telling me, by then I'll buy you a beer. I never bought anybody a beer.
And that's how it was
and
born.
I got, so somebody would say, a nun and a priest are going down the river in a canoe. I'd say to myself, oh, you know what, this is the one about the Indian princess. You know, I got so I could see the parallels.
Right.
And I knew all the jokes then. And my band was so bad, I quit music. And what am I going to do? I'm not going to get a job. So I started telling my filthy jokes on stage. I'm not a comedian. I tell old, filthy jokes. It's like people say, well, you tell old jokes. I say, well, the guy that does Hamlet, he didn't write it either. He either do Hamlet really well or really poorly.
Yeah.
You know, I just happened to do Hamlet really well. And I've been doing it. I never had to look back. Started making money, making albums, sent them to Howard.
And that's how it all started.
And I got very, very lucky. But luck favors the prepared. But
sure.
It was all just these filthy jokes. But the answer to your question, I don't know how many.
It's amazing when you watch you perform. It's rapid fire. It's boom, 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 boom. 87, 88. I'm at Rascals, West Orange. And it's like, oh, my God, this guy is just nonstop.
I thought of that. I went past the exit for Pleasant Valley Way.
Yeah.
You know?
And see what gets me, too, is when you do Stump the Joke Man, you're letting the audience kind of drive the show as well. That's a ballsy thing to do.
Well, you know what's so great is, first of all, a lot of the jokes that they ask are jokes that in the mainstream. So it's really easy. And it's so funny because the audience goes nuts that I know every joke. But then when somebody stumps me, they go even crazier. So it's a no-lose proposition.
It's like they want you to be stumped. They want it.
And you know what's so funny? People say, do you ever get stumped? I get stumped all the time. Sometimes I'll go 3 months without, you know, like I'm in the club and then boom, boom, I do the guys. And then I got the girls on stage, 3, 5, 12 girls on stage. Boom, boom, boom. And I know them all. And then maybe the next time I work, somebody will get me, I'll lose 3 times in a row. One of the great ones, I was on stage at Rascals doing the Rascals comedy hour, right? And this girl's standing there and she asked me a very simple joke. And I said, I can't believe I don't know this. This is an obvious joke that I should know the answer. And the joke was, why do they bury Jewish guys standing up? And so the change won't fall out of their pockets. Okay. So I go, I can't believe I didn't know that joke. And this girl says, I can't believe you didn't know it either because I stumped you with the same joke on the same stage 2 years ago.
Oh, no.
So imagine that.
Wow.
So they do fall through the cracks. You
see
know?
That?
Isn't that a great
you
story?
You got to put a clause in there that you can only win one time. You can only stump you one time.
It's so much fun.
But you've got these jokes, too. They're quick one-liners, and there are jokes that you've told years ago that sticks in my head. Guy walks into a library, needs a book on suicide. Librarian looks at him and says, screw you, you're not bringing it back.
Oh, no.
I tell that joke every night. You know, I put a visual joke on Instagram.
Yeah.
My Instagram is Jackie Martling, just my name, JACKIAMARTLING.
Look at him getting the plugs in. I love that.
Oh, no, no, but it's, well, people, I can't do this joke on the radio, so I want them to see it
if
they want
to
see
it. Leading up to
but it's a simple blonde joke, and I changed it to Trump. And I put it on, and a guy tweeted me and said, I saw your Donald Trump joke. That's the same joke you told in Rochester 2 months ago, only it was a blonde. I recognize it right away. You know so many jokes. Your audience should never have to hear the same joke twice. And I'm like, how do I tell them that the show I did last night probably had, probably half the jokes were in my act in 1979, you know?
All right, Jackie, we're coming up on a network break, right? All right, we have to pause. Don't worry. Jackie is here the entire hour. We will be back with a lot more with Jackie, the joke man, Martling. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. When Jim proposed to Judy, he gave her a very expensive engagement ring. But a few months later, Judy broke off the engagement. Since Jim spent so much money on the ring, he asked for it back, but Judy refused. She said it was a gift, and Jim had no legal right to take it away from her. So can Judy keep the ring? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.
Engagement gifts are given with the expectation that marriage will take place. Since Judy broke off the engagement, she must return the ring or Jim can go to court to recover it. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here taking your child in for their shots. Maybe you're getting a flu shot. Maybe you're afraid of needles. Or maybe you're just putting off getting a booster shot because you think it's going to hurt. What to do? Trick the brain. Here's the biological science of it. Well, the truth, shots hurt. But there are ways to minimize the pain. Now, according to a recent study in the Journal of Pain and Symptom Management, before you're stuck with a needle, ask the nurse to apply firm pressure to the injection site for about 10 seconds. The shot will hurt about one-third less. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, it has to do with competing brain pathways. The pinch pressure tricks the brain and it sort of misses the sharp signal. Or maybe it's just as simple as the pinch hurts more than the shot. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.